Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer our expert advice so you can have an amazing sex life. Welcome to 2016. Did you miss us a little bit? We sure missed you. We took a little break for the holidays, and now we are back to our normal schedule of two podcasts a week, a shorter episode every Wednesday, and a longer episode every Friday. And in our end-of-year reflections, I definitely noticed that doing the podcast is my favorite part of this job. I love the opportunity to speak with you every week, answer your questions, offer resources, and most of all, we love hearing from you about how these podcasts are affecting you and changing your relationships and your sex lives. So keep those emails coming. You can be in touch with us anytime through our website at pleasuremechanics.com. And we love hearing from you, whether that's suggesting a topic or asking a question or reporting back on how our strategies and techniques are transforming your sex life. We love to hear from you.
It's so true. We do absolutely love hearing from you. And we hope that we can be a part of making 2016 your sexiest year yet. And I hope that all the resources that we create can help support you in really taking your erotic life to the next level, to experiencing more pleasure, more ecstasy, more fun in your bedroom. So let's dive in, shall we?
Let's get started by reading a letter we received from a listener named Rachel. Charlotte will get us started.
Dear Pleasure Mechanics, my husband recently shared with me that he has been listening to your podcast for about a year. I was hesitant at first, but once I started listening, I got hooked, and now I'm trying to catch up with all of your episodes. Here's my question, and it is a big one. Will I ever love sex again? When my husband and I first got together, we barely got out of bed, and I loved having sex with him. But after 15 years of marriage, it has become predictable and boring. I do it once in a while to please him, but it just feels stale. I know he is trying. Listening to you guys is one way he is trying to learn more, and he is willing to try new things. But basically, I just don't love it anymore. I long for that feeling of being so in love and loving sex with him. Is there any way to get that feeling back? Thanks, Rachel. Well, that is a big question.
Wow. So first, what does it even mean to love sex? To love sex again. She's longing for that feeling. And I think we need to separate out the lustiness and the passion of a new relationship with that feeling of loving sex. Because that's a feeling, I think, that's accessible to all of us at different stages of our lives, at different stages of our relationships. The idea of being in love with your sex life and loving sex, enjoying sex, looking forward to it. So that's what I want to focus on. I want to separate out that idea of that passionate first stage of a relationship, because honestly, you can't get that back. It's only really available when you're falling in love with someone for the first time, and we shouldn't try to recreate that. I think that's a dead end. But how do we fall in love with sex again and again at different stages and with a partner of 5, 10, 15 years? What does it mean to love sex?
Well, I think it's essential that we understand, as you're saying, that sex, it evolves, that our experience of how we connect and how we fuck or make love shifts and alters over the years. So we have to let it be a dynamic, changing experience and not want what we used to have or settle for what we currently have, but have it be... But have it be something that we let evolve. And that can only happen when we are aware of and paying attention to our own erotic needs and desires in the moment, because they are shifting. And if we assume that we're the same people now than we were a year ago or 2 years ago, you're going to be missing out on what you could be experiencing right now.
So we are defining loving sex, if I'm hearing you correctly, as having our current erotic needs met, enjoying sex, feeling a lot of physical pleasure, and feeling emotionally satisfied with our sex lives. So to sum it up, to be physically, emotionally, and spiritually fulfilled by sex is to be in love with sex. Can we do that?
I think that's great. I mean, it's a big definition, but we're not afraid of that here.
Let's go for it. So how do we love sex again? I think the first thing we need to do to fall in love with sex again, no matter where you're at in your erotic journey, is to let go of any obligations and never have any kind of sex, especially penetrative sex, but never have sex that you don't want to be having.
Yeah, this is essential. The body knows if you are not interested in sex. If we're doing it because out of obligation to our partner, you're doing yourself and your partner a disservice. Because the body registers any kind of penetration as violation, as...
If you're not into it.
Excuse me, absolutely, if you're not into it. And it's kind of creating low-level trauma in your body, to be honest. And you just don't want to do that because it will create more resentment and you'll be less and less interested in sex because your body won't respond with pleasure.
So what do you think? A lot of experts say, yeah, it's fine to have sex you don't want to be having once in a while to please your partner, to fulfill your marital obligation, to keep your partner interested so they don't have an affair. Like, a lot of sex experts actually recommend having sex if you're not in the mood, especially to women who are assumed to have a lower libido, which is not always true. But they say go ahead and let yourself be fucked if you're not in the mood.
I think that's bullshit. And I think...
Call it out.
Yeah, I think that's dangerous advice.
Yes.
I think that it is reasonable to try to... I think when you get married, there is some agreement to try and fulfill one another sexually. It is an unspoken vow that I believe we all take when we say we want to get married. So I think wanting to have some kind of sexual connection is important. So I think that pushing yourself when you really feel like you're not in the mood to connect sexually in some way is a reasonable request within a relationship. So that could look like, I'm not really in the mood, honey, but I'm open to cuddling. Can you scratch my back? I don't really feel like having intercourse.
But... Or why don't you masturbate and I will watch and egg you on and play with your nipples a little bit or kiss you while you stroke yourself. There's so many options to try out as an alternative to intercourse that doesn't create what you are calling that low-level trauma of allowing yourself to be fucked when you're not in the mood. And I think exercising those options, A, makes it possible to have more kinds of sex more often, which is great for your relationship, and it allows you to only have that penetrative, intense kind of sex when you're really excited about it, which will mean you'll enjoy it more, which is a great step to loving sex again. So that is step one, our absolute recommendation to fall in love with sex again. Do not have any kind of penetrative or intense forms of sex if you are not fully in the mood and excited about it.
But being able to do that presupposes that you understand and that you get that sex can be more than just intercourse, which is a big myth to undo or a big cultural learning that we have to undo to get that you can have a sexual connection that can be satisfying and fulfilling that doesn't necessarily include penetrative sex. It also involves being authentic and being honest about your sexual needs in that moment, which is a high-level skill to be honest with yourself and your body and to be able to communicate that of, I'm not actually up for that right now, but can we try X, Y, or Z? So, or Z, as some on this side of the ocean say. So...
But this podcast is the training ground for erotic Jedi.
May it be so.
So I think, yeah, we've talked about those things in the past. I think you definitely need to broaden your definition of sex. And let's assume that we all are capable of this kind of communication. And especially if you want to be absolutely in love with your sex life, these are fundamental, foundational skills to master.
Amen.
And it takes some time. So you're respecting your body, you're not having sex that you don't want to be having. The next step is to make sure the sex you are having is amazing. And of course, this topic is way beyond the scope of one podcast. All of our podcasts, all of the resources we create are dedicated to helping you have the most amazing, most arousing, interesting sex you possibly can have. So take advantage of those resources. I love that you are catching up on the podcast. We have, 160 episodes now, which is a lot of listening. I hope you have a lot of chores or walks or commute time. Listen to the podcast. You can go through and look at topics that interest you. You can use, we have a sex index on our website, so you can zip right to the pages that are dedicated to the topics most interesting to you now. And of course, we have our mastery online courses when you're ready to go deep and learn new skills and get these skills into your body so you can be a more competent, confident lover. And this stage cannot be underestimated, because of course you can't love your sex life if the sex you're having is kind of meh, kind of mediocre. And sadly, we are not trained in this culture to be erotic Jedi, to fulfill that erotic potential we are all born with. And so we have to learn. We have to dedicate some time to learning new sexual skills to become masterful lovers. And when you do this, when you take on sex as a hobby, as something you're excited to learn about, as something you're prioritizing and dedicating some time and resources to, then a whole new world of possibilities opens up to you, because otherwise you're just kind of recreating the same things over and over again. And this is what we get so many emails about: routines, rut, boring sex. We hear these words over and over again. And the solution is to take on learning new sexual skills and making that sex you're having more arousing, more fun, more interesting, and ultimately more fulfilling.
And that can look like so many different things for different couples. Some people will want to learn how to relax more, and couples massage is going to be awesome for them. Some people are going to want to learn how to touch the genitals with more skill and confidence. And foreplay mastery fits that perfectly and will give you everything you need to know. And then some people want to just get crazy and have a choose-your-own-adventure and get really...
Let's get loco! What does that mean, get crazy?
No, you know what I mean? Like, get kinky.
Uh-huh.
And...
get more creative.
Create your sex as a choose-your-own-adventure, break taboos.
Play with power play and sensation play.
Yes. All of that. Kinky sex mastery is for you and has all of that. So it depends what your erotic goals are and what your needs are to fulfill what it is you are craving right now in your sex life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it's all about. When we're talking about fulfilling ourselves in all these different areas of life, it really involves having some reflection and feeling into your body and saying, what do I crave? Because you can't, that's how you're going to find fulfilling sex. What do you want right now? Sometimes, you know, we just had a kid. Well, a year plus ago. But we are at a stage that is very different than when we first got together. We are interested in gentle massage and being nourished and being tended to. Our crazy sex party, kinky days are behind and ahead.
On New Year's Eve, we were lying around and being like, do you remember when New Year's Eve meant going out at midnight and raging into all hours of morning, and now here we are in our pajamas, cuddling with our kid and feeling totally satisfied.
Well, I'm having a dance party with our little kid, and it's awesome. And so, you know, this, and it, but I feel fulfilled.
Uh-huh.
Because this is where we're at, and that is being authentic and true to where we're at right now.
But will this be our sex life for the rest of our life?
I will cry with boredom if this is where we're at in 5 years, right? But right now it feels just perfect.
Yeah.
So you have to be where you're at. And authenticity is really important, and it's always changing. So what do you crave? Butt massage is what I'm craving these days.
Noted. And that process of checking in about what you're craving is both a personal process and then a dialogue with your partner and being really honest. And you might find that you're in two different places and there's some negotiation, or you might find that you're totally on the same page and you're ready to sign up for an erotic mastery course and spend some evenings learning new skills and make dates and schedule them in order to practice, and that is going to be what you need to wake up your sex life and fall in love with your sex life again, but also fall deeper in love with each other. Because what we know for sure is that learning any new skill together is one of the proven methods for strengthening your marriage and falling deeper in love. And that can be dancing or woodworking or birdwatching, But why not sex? Double whammy there. You get to learn a new skill and strengthen your erotic life. And doing that will strengthen your relationship and you'll open up new channels of communication. And it's basically awesome. Okay. So,
truth.
Another level of falling in love with sex is confronting any residual shame and guilt you have about sex. We all carry residues of this just from living in the culture we live in, from being told the messages we're told about sex, that sex is dirty, that it's hedonistic, that it makes you selfish if you want to focus too much on sex, that you're too fat or too thin or too small or too big or too hairy or whatever.
Or too old.
We're too old to enjoy sex when we know that actually some of the best sex you're going to have is in your 50s and 60s. But we get all these messages and we have to constantly be doing the work of confronting the messages that are holding us back and purging those toxic messages from our system in order to give ourselves permission to love sex. Like, what does that really mean on a fundamental level to be able to say out loud, I love sex. I love my sex life. I give myself permission to enjoy huge amounts of pleasure. I'm multi-orgasmic. I spend time having sex. I spend time learning about sex. And to be able to say that even to yourself is a huge radical step when we live in the culture we live in that tells you so many negative things about your sexuality. So this is a big topic, again, but really register that to love sex, you have to continuously cleanse yourself of the toxins of shame and guilt.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process that we all have to do if we want to have a great sex life. It is just, it's an emotional practice of pulling out those toxic ideas and continuing to give yourself permission to let yourself feel pleasure, that it is okay and right to feel joy in your body, that wanting to have sex and wanting to feel good is safe and good for you and healthy and doesn't make you worthless or slutty or a sex fiend. All of these ideas are just swirling about us all the time, and we just have to reject them.
Yeah, and you're going to confront them in different moments. When maybe you're getting a massage from your partner, and in your head you're distracted, like, am I taking too long? Is my partner really into this? Are they getting tired? And it's only been 10 minutes of massage, but you are bumping up against those messages that you are not worthy of being pampered and being treated with so much care and affection. And that is a message of shame activating in your body. Or maybe you want to sit down with your partner and ask them about kinky sex, and you've had fantasies about being submissive or being dominant. You've wanted to play with power play all your life, but you've never said this out loud. And that process of speaking it out loud is terrifying to you. That is a message of shame and guilt activating in your body, preventing you from asking for what you want. So it can come up in all of these different ways, and you need to notice when it comes up, confront it, start looking at where you received those messages. Is that your own baggage? Is that your family baggage? Is it religious baggage? Like, where did that come from? And then confront it directly by giving yourself radical permission to have an amazing sex life. And if you need support, you can write to us and we will give you permission to say these things out loud. We will give you permission to have even more pleasure in your life, because you need to really take on this attitude that sex is a positive, healthy thing. And that is an ongoing process. It's a lifetime of work, but the more you do it, the easier it gets, because you notice, oh, I've spoken my fantasy out loud. I've told my partner what I want. And the world didn't end. They didn't judge me. We were able to have a conversation about it. And the more you do that, the easier it gets. And the more you receive pleasure and you notice that your partner's really aroused by your pleasure, the easier that gets. So as we do these things, we shed these layers of shame and guilt, and the process becomes smoother.
Absolutely.
And so I think there is this process also of just really taking in What does it mean to be a person who loves sex? What does that look like in your everyday life? What does that look like within your relationship? And how do you prioritize it as part of your life? Because great sex doesn't just happen. You're not going to go about your daily life without thinking about sex and then fall into the bedroom and have the most amazing sex of your life. Just like you're never going to walk up to a canvas and paint a masterpiece without getting into the practice of being an artist. So if you want to love sex, if you want to become an erotic Jedi, if you want to become a masterful lover, then it takes a daily practice of being someone who loves sex. And I'm going to turn this over to Charlotte because she is someone who loves sex more than anyone I've met in my life. Can you give us a few examples of what that looks like as you walk about your daily life?
Gosh. Well, thanks. I think it involves letting pleasure be a source of joy and fuel in your life. It's saying yes to pleasure as often as you can, taking another moment when you're doing anything in your regular life that is pleasurable and really soaking in that joy and pleasure and letting your body enjoy it.
And we knew this, and we knew this from your daily life, but then we started reading the science behind it, and it's actually scientifically proven that the more you experience pleasure, the easier it becomes to trigger those hormones in your body. And I love reading that because it means that this is a biological thing, that you can prime your body for more pleasure by experiencing pleasure and really experiencing those sensual pleasures in your daily life. So this isn't some activate your sensuality, woo-woo bullshit. Like, this is a proven strategy that science supports, that if you experience pleasure in your daily life, it'll become easier to experience pleasure in the bedroom.
Which is so awesome. And you're carrying your body around everywhere. We are sensual beings, so experiencing life through your senses as much as possible is strengthening those channel so that when you're in the bedroom, you're already lit up, you're alive, your body is nourished, and so you can feel more. I think that taking care of your body, I don't mean in terms of like getting a pedicure or what it looks like on the outside, but taking care of how you feel in your body is really important, because the more we are stretched, we're relaxed, we've removed tension from our body, the more physical room there is in our body for pleasure. This is a fact.
So you stretch, you do self-massage, you do meditation practices as often as you can as a new mother, and you really make space and time for that. So instead of watching TV at the end of the day, you have this beautiful little zone in our bedroom and you sit with yourself and you do some self-care practices.
Yeah, at the end of the night. I haven't watched TV since our baby was born, so it's been about a year plus. Absolutely. Instead, I will lie on our sheepskin and I will stretch my pelvis. I will move my body. I will massage my shoulders. I'll massage my feet. I will touch my body. It feels so different to me to be able to be resourced so that I can be present for our daughter, so I can be present for you. When I take care of myself in this way, I'm more available to feel joy and to feel connected, because my body feels relaxed and present. It's a way of getting out of my head and into my hips and into my body. And I feel emotionally better. I feel physically better. It's just so much better. And I'm not judging watching TV. You can stretch and do all these things in front of TV. I used to do that back in the day. So it's about integrating these really small physical practices into your everyday life. It doesn't have to take more time. It's just putting the attention onto your body.
And to wrap up, what is the attitude of loving sex? Like, if you're in conversation with some of your girlfriends and the topic of sex comes up, like, how do you represent yourself as a woman who loves sex? How does that get articulated in your friendships and in your conversations with the world?
I think that as women, it is so common to judge yourself, to badmouth yourself. And I think, first of all, you just don't do that.
And judge other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't waste your energy or time or emotions on that. Stop becoming a woman that's like, God, I look so fat. God, I feel so old. I don't know. All of those sort of self-talk, it's normalized to talk that way to ourselves and to each other and to commiserate with other ladies and other women about how fat and bloated and all those conversations. Just scratch them from your life. What a waste of time. I think that have no mercy with that kind of self-sabotage. I think eliminate it and then be somebody who encourages other people to feel good about themselves. To reflect back to people when they say that something makes them feel good and encourage them to do more of it. Become somebody who's permission-giving to yourself and to the women around you and the men to enjoy life and look for pleasure and ways to include pleasure in life together. Become someone that creates occasions with people around you that makes life more fun and connected.
So what you're really talking about is becoming a pleasure giver and a pleasure bringer, and that your attitude and what you choose to focus on, what you choose to talk about, is about the good stuff. And you are not someone who avoids talking about painful or emotionally hard topics, but you do so in a productive way, in a supportive way. You don't bitch and whine about life's petty grievances. And one of the things I love about you is, like, even when we're in the car and someone cuts me off and I'm driving and I'm like, oh, what a fucking douchebag just cut me off, you'll be like, maybe they have a really important meeting to get to, honey. You know, or if someone budges in line, you'll be like, well, they must be really in a rush for an important reason. Like, you always give people, even strangers who are being rude, the benefit of the doubt. You look for the highest good in people, and it really changes how we live our lives. And after 9 years plus of being with you, it changes how I see the world. And instead of looking for what's wrong and for the bad, you start looking for the good and giving people a generous spirit. And I think this really comes from your love of sexuality and pleasure and being someone who is so filled up with joy and has such an enormous capacity for pleasure that you have it to share with others. And I think this is part of what we're talking about here, and this is part of what confronts that message of enjoying sex and loving sex being hedonistic and selfish, is that when you accept pleasure in a really authentic way and live an authentic sexuality, you actually become a better person, a better lover, a better spouse, a better parent, a better friend, a better coworker. And your love, your joy, your pleasure spills out and you have more to share with the world. And imagine what kind of world we'd live in if we all took this on and had more joy to share with the people in our lives. Just imagine it.
It's a beautiful vision.
And it's one of the reasons I love you so much. Okay.
Thanks. I don't know how this whole episode became like...
You are someone that really loves sex, and you are a woman who loves sex shamelessly and fearlessly and in a really authentic way, and you've taught me so much about what it means to love sex. So I thought we'd share some of your wisdom.
Well, thank you. I very much appreciate it.
I sprung it on you.
I feel very loved and appreciated.
All right, so we hope that these strategies will help you transform your relationship to sexuality and get out of your ruts and fall in love with sex again. And I think this is a beautiful episode to start 2016 with. And we have so much good coming to you this year. We have lots of little plans we are hatching, eggs we are sitting on to bring you even more resources for a more pleasurable life. So be sure to subscribe to this podcast. Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com and be a part of our community. You can join our newsletter on any page of pleasuremechanics.com. You'll see the sign up for that. Be in touch with us and let us know what you are struggling with, what your questions are. And we will bring you personalized sex advice in 2016 because we are here for you. We are dedicated to your sexual pleasure, to helping you fall in love with sex again, and supporting you no matter where you are at in your own erotic journey. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.
Cheers.